Hi, everybody. This is Pam, coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which you can find on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also a free download on iTunes. As always, I have another amazing woman joining me for great conversation. So I want to say hello to Perla. Hi, how's it going?
Hey Pam, thanks for the invite. Very well, thanks. And yourself, how are you doing?
Good. Looking forward to another snowstorm here in New York State. I say that sarcastically because I'm really not looking forward to it. But I'm well and excited to talk to somebody else who is going to bring some new perspective to this common issue that we have. So to get started, why don't you, if you would, introduce yourself to us and tell us where you're from and a little bit about what you do?
Oh, excellent. My name is Perla Ernest. I'm originally from the UK, born in Wales, but I've been living abroad for so many years. Lived in Saudi Arabia for about 8 years, Brunei for about 5 years, 10 years in Mexico, and another 4 years in the UK. So that's been my history. My mother's Mexican, my dad's Welsh. Therefore, I always call myself I'm half Welsh, half British, right? What do I do? Well, I'm living in Mexico, been here for the past year and a half. After I did my major in the UK, I studied business excellence with purchasing and supply chain management. And now I'm running a business in Mexico in the ecology sector. So what I do, I distribute from a Mexican company water treatments for housing and for industries. So I'm like the representative of that company in central Mexico.
So are you like the sales representative? Are you the person that talks people into getting your service?
Yes, exactly. Well, I get this Mexican company sells me the products, as in the water treatments, and then I distribute them to other companies. So I would say, well, it's my business, but I distribute from this Mexican company up north.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so I've been doing that for the past 5 months. I've got another plan of starting a business in the training sector, such as cross-culture training. So, but I mean, that business still not ready. Still in the sort of a stage of planning and getting things together. But in the meantime, I'm doing this and really like it, really enjoy it.
And what exactly would the cross cultural training entail?
Well, cross-culture training is mostly given to people who travel abroad. So, for my particular idea, I'm thinking of giving this sort of training to top executives. For example, I don't know, if there's an American director or an American executive who comes to Mexico but doesn't really know the Mexican culture. So therefore, there's going to be a culture barrier between the Mexican and the American while doing business. And 80%, well, no, I think it would be 70-80% of the times, there's always a clash between cultures when we don't really understand the other person's culture. So there's so many misunderstandings and poor business negotiations, right? So that's when I come in and train both parties who are interested. So by the time they get to know each other and start doing business, they understand how to do business in that particular country.
Oh, that actually sounds like that would be something that would be really wanted in this global world that we live in.
Exactly.
Right. How did you come about thinking about that because of all the different traveling and living abroad that you've experienced personally?
Yes, it did come from that. Especially living in the Middle East, for example, where it's a very different culture towards the West. So ideologies, mentalities are very different, and customs, traditions are just so different. So I actually learned how to understand Arab people, even though I wasn't fluent in their own language, but I got to understand how they think, what they like, how do they respect people, what do they expect when you respect them. So I think it was a sort of skill that I developed throughout these years that have made me more sensible in this area. So when I'm dealing or socializing or negotiating with somebody from another culture, I always try to put myself in their shoes and see their perspective from my perspective. So my idea came from there primarily. It came from there. And when I got to Mexico 1.5 years ago, I was giving English classes in business to top executives.
Oh my goodness.
So I actually faced different situations where these executives were sent abroad and would come back really down, feeling very down, and would say, "Well, it's because I can't understand the Chinese culture, for example, right? And because of this and because of that, due to their culture, sorry, I wasn't able to close this deal successful." So that's when my idea came, and I said, "Well, I've got this multicultural experience since I was a very young girl. And if I polish it with business topics focused on this globalized world, then I think a business opportunity can come across with it." So
Absolutely.
that's how my idea of cross-culture training is actually starting.
Oh, I think that's wonderful, and I think that I think that as you grow the business and the idea, I think that you'll find a huge need for the service that you can provide. But isn't it interesting? You're a person who stutters.
Exactly. I've been stuttering since the age of 2 years old, 3 years old, I would say. I think it got worse when I got into my teens. I started struggling so much, and I started feeling very embarrassed about my stammer, and I would avoid so many situations and pretend to be somebody that I wasn't. So obviously I would adopt all sorts of personalities. I would be sometimes very arrogant or very indifferent with people. So I could always mitigate the fear of stammering. So yes, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I'm doing now if I didn't seek for help, to be honest, because my stammer was just so out of control in the past.
Well,
That
the reason that I commented on that is because you would not think that somebody that grew up stuttering and has had challenges with that would get into the field of work that you're involved in, which demands heavy communication and contact with the public. So, and you speak beautifully. I mean, I hear just such a pleasant fluency and fluidity to your voice. So what did you do? What kind of help did you seek?
Oh, thank you very much, Pam. Well, what I did, I joined the Maguire program back in the UK 3 years ago. So the program actually helped me to control my stammer. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm cured already, because until now, there isn't a cure for stammer. But what I've learned is to actually deal with it and control it in a very assertive and eloquent way. One of our goals that we have in the program is reaching eloquence and reaching that mental freedom. So now I would say I'm a recovering stammerer rather than being a stammer out of control. So that has given me a lot of courage, a lot of self-esteem to actually say, well, not because I stammer, I'm going to be avoiding the things that I really dream about doing. Because in the past, it was like that. I just used to avoid all sorts of speaking situations. I remember when I was finishing high school and I had a socio-culture politics class, and it had to do with the Mexican history in politics. And we had a very strict teacher who always liked to make us read out loud in front of everybody. And as a stammer, well, obviously we hate reading out loud in front of people.
We sure do.
So I remember that I would sit in the middle of the classroom, but at the back. So I would actually analyze how would he start choosing each student to start reading. So as I analyzed it for a week, and he never chose me at that week, so it gave me sufficient time to say, well, if I sit at the back in the middle, then it will be the end of the class and I wouldn't have to read anymore, right?
Oh my goodness.
But exactly. So just imagine that sort of analysis that a stammer does, right? For you to avoid the situation. So it was one day when obviously my trick wasn't good enough. And he said, Perla, could you read out loud this paragraph that was in like this projector? So I started to invent that I couldn't see the blackboard and that I needed glasses. And he said, well, come to the front and maybe you could see better. So I actually walked to the front really slowly, crippling my eyes and making my eyes very small, pretending that I couldn't read. Well, that I couldn't see, sorry. And I was like, oh, sorry, sir, but I just cannot see. I cannot see. What does it say there? I mean, it was in Spanish. So I remember it was a word. Política de México means Mexican politics. And I was like, what does it say? I mean, just imagine. So I think my teacher got so fed up. They said, oh, you can go back, but please take care of those eyes and you really have to do something about it. So after that class, I felt so conscious that I had a problem, but I wouldn't really accept it. I said, well, I'm fluent in most things. In other situations, I don't struggle. It's just that when I read out loud or give a presentation in front of so many people, that's when I start struggling. So months went by and My stamina was just out of control. I remember a day when I thought that nobody actually recognized that I stammered, because I thought I was amazingly good hiding my stammer, right? And I remember an ex-boyfriend's mother that was a bit mean to me. She wasn't very nice to me. And she was on the phone talking to one of her sons. And she despectively called me Perla the Stutterer.
Oh, no.
Exactly. And I remember I listened to that. And it was a shock, Pam, because I was like, oh, no. I've been hiding my stammer so well these years that somebody has already recognized that I stammer. So that was the first time that I said, well, I need help. I started looking into speech therapy programs in the US. I'm not going to mention any names, but I went to one in the US that isn't the McGuire program. And, well, it didn't do much. After 15 days, I was exactly the same. I was even more conscious, and I could barely say my name to people. No, I could even say my address when I would go to, I don't know, order some food or go to a shop assistant and ask her to send me X or Y product. Then she would ask me, okay, could you give me your name and your address? And I would be like, and I would use ums and ahs before I could say my name. Then I would drop my bag, using that as a trick, and gain more time so Perla could come out. So it was so many situations that I went through. And after I got back from America, it was time for me to start my business degree. No, sorry, a degree. And I was still in Mexico City. So I felt so limited. I mean, I love doing business. And I felt so limited in doing it. So I said, no, I won't be good enough for business. I might as well study something to do with speech therapy. So I started looking into majors and everything and came across to a degree called neurolinguistics and psychopedagogy.
Okay, I've heard of the neurolinguistics, but I haven't heard of the other one. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's like neurolinguistics is the science of the brain. Mm-hmm. So you used to do investigations on the brain and trying to link that to human disorders.
Oh,
and psychopedagogy would be teaching speech therapy to children or to adults, maybe, that might have had an accident and lost their fluency in speaking.
Okay, so that would be different than having grown up stuttering. This would be somebody that had been fluent and then lost their fluency due to an illness or accident?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, maybe there might be something involved with stuttering. So I said, well, maybe I can find the next cure for stammering or something like that. I was just so conscious about it, Pam. So conscious. Mm-hmm. So I enrolled to it. I told the director that I was enrolling because I'm a stammer myself and I really want to find something in order to help people to recover. So she was like, yes, you're in the best school. This is the best degree. You should definitely go for it. Okay. I was in this major for a year. It was a 4-year degree. I just did 1 year because I couldn't give presentations. I couldn't do my investigations properly. I couldn't even give speech therapy to children. Just imagine that. I just couldn't even give speech therapy to children. So I was like, oh my God, what on earth am I going to do professionally. I mean, I can't even do something that has to do with speech therapy. Just imagine something else. So, I spoke to my parents. As at that stage, my parents were supporting me economically, well, financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I think Mexico isn't very developed in giving speech therapy degrees. What if I go to the UK and find a speech therapy course for me to learn and then do this professionally? I mean, the UK, you have everything over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad said, well, okay, if you want to go, go ahead then. So I went to the UK. I remember I got to the UK 2007. It was in June 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking for major degrees. And I looked at their curriculums, as in what sort of subjects would they teach regarding this major.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very similar to the career that I was studying in Mexico. And that wasn't something I was passionate about doing, Pam. I mean, I felt obliged in studying that because I thought there wasn't anything that could help me with my stammer. So I bravely said, no, I'm not going to make my dad waste more money that he has wasted already. I'm going to see if I can find a speech therapy course for me to recover from this.
Okay.
Before I join a major degree in the UK. So that's when I found the Maguire program. I even remember when I phoned Matt Wilton. He's a regional director of UK South. And obviously, as you know, the Maguire program is run by recovering stammerers themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Matt Wilton is a recovering stammer as well. And I phoned him. And I was jumping, running, moving around. So I could just say, hello.
Oh. Is that what you frequently had to do to just be able to initiate hello on the phone?
Well, yes. Most of the time I had to move aggressively in order to get that word out on the phone. Or there would be times where I just couldn't even say hello. And I would have silent blocks, as in... or I just couldn't even have a sound out.
Right. Now, right. What was uncomfortable or embarrassing for you about that, when you say that you were running and moving around when you were talking to him on the phone? Because he couldn't have seen you do that, right?
No, he didn't. But obviously, he understood, and he also knew that I was experiencing trouble while talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
As that is the nature of a stutterer.
Right.
Speaking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking face-to-face to with people. So he was like, okay, take your time. There's no problem. Do you have an email address where I can send you the information? And, oh, it took me another 10 minutes to give him my email address. But then at the end, something inside of me said... doesn't matter, you felt embarrassed because you couldn't even say a word to Matt Wilton. But have some faith that this program will help. So don't prejudge it beforehand. Be humble and open yourself to what sort of results this program can provide you. So Matt Wilton sent me the whole information. When I looked at the application form and said that we had to pay a fee, I was like, okay, we're in trouble now. We're in trouble.
Well, you must have had to pay a fee for the course that you took in the US, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the US was a very, very expensive course. And I remember that my dad actually made rapid plans to send me to this course in the US, and it was extremely expensive. So I felt so embarrassed in going back to my dad and say, oh, could you help me out again? I found another course called the Maguire Program, and it's this much, right? So I felt embarrassed because I thought, my dad thought, that I was just wasting my time and there wasn't going to be a solution for my stammer and I was just going to be useless in life. That's what I thought. I mean, just imagine how low my self-esteem was due to my stammer. So I was very brave in speaking to my dad. I said, I know you've supported me financially in sending me to the US to that course. But I'm still the same. I cannot recover from it, and I'm even worse. I can't speak on the phone. I can't even ask for a box of chocolates to a shop attendant or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine how I feel, Dad. I feel terrible. I remember I was crying when I told him that. It was so emotional. And I think my dad understood and said, well, okay, let's help you out, no? And he was the one who supported me financially to attend the Maguire program, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I attended, my first course was in Norwich, 2007 in September. And I was like a little child, right? Following directions and just listening to what the coaches at the program were telling me to do. I'm telling you, it's a very intensive course, but I've changed a lot due to that course. I'm not the same person as I was 3 years ago. I've actually reached a lot of potential in me in achieving things that I never thought I could achieve. In dealing with my patience, dealing with my nervousism, because due to my stammer, I was very nervous.
And do you attribute most of the positive change that you've seen in yourself to the Maguire program, or to just personal confidence and personal strength in general?
Well, I would say it had to do with the Maguire program at first. Mm-hmm. Then obviously I started working harder in order to reach each level in our Freedom's Road. That's what we call it. So then I actually put the effort in to gain some more freedom, some more mental freedom. And obviously, my confidence was increased. My fear was low. And then I was doing all sorts of things that really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started empowering people. I remember after the Maguire program, my first course, I started my business degree in Wales. And, well, obviously, being at university, you have to speak a lot and give presentations, work with people. And you get people that don't like to work, and your grade depends on working together as a team.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting angry as I would before, as in swearing and maybe shouting for people to listen to me, because that's what I used to do.
Even when you were stammering?
Yes, when I was stammering, I remember that when I wanted people to really hear what I wanted to say, I used to shout so much. So my tone of voice was very high, and that made the fear of stammering lower.
Mm-hmm.
So now what I did, I started developing, due to the techniques that the program has showed me, to actually stay in control of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I developed being very diplomatic with people. I empowered people to help them work even harder and gain good grades and gain good projects, right? And I remember I have a very good friend. She's a Kuwaiti girl, one of my best friend in life that I met her in the UK. And I remember she was very lazy at the beginning and she hated to work. She hated to work. And she would skip classes and she was in my team, but she barely attended meetings. So obviously, as my goal of achieving a good grade due to my inefficiency in the past, due to my stammer, that was my pain that I had, and I wanted to convert it into a result, into an achievement. So that's why I gave the most out of me at university. And I said, okay, I've got to stay in control of me. I really want this girl to pull her weight together as well, right? And start working. And I empowered her to start working. When she graduated, she told me, thank you very much, Perla, because if it wasn't for you, I wasn't able to finish my degree. I learned so much from you in persevering and taking these challenges and converting them into results. So that was an inspiration for me, Pam, because in the past, I couldn't even inspire my dog to do something.
Well, you have such a great laugh. When you say that you've empowered other people to, you know, to change or pull their own weight or to realize that they needed to do something that they weren't doing, how did you actually do that? What does empowering somebody else mean to you?
Good question, Pam. Okay, I'm going to say it as the way I feel it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not right, but that's the way I feel that empowering is to me. Mm-hmm. Is making people do things that they think they have the initiative in doing it. Mm-hmm. So you kind of suggest, instead of controlling that person and demanding that person to do something, you actually create the need in making that person feel that he or she had the initiative of starting something.
So it almost sounds a little bit like manipulation, like reverse psychology.
Well, it would be sort of leadership. Well, I mean, it does have a bit of manipulation, but as in a good way, right?
Right.
It has to do a lot with leadership. I mean, I was reading there's an author who I like very much, Anthony Robbins.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Oh, yep. I love him. And something that he was saying in a book was, the best leader could be making other people think that they are leaders as well.
Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. So I had no idea of this philosophy. But I think what actually helped me to achieve this was, as our technique is based in costal breathing. Mm-hmm. So I've got to take each time costal breaths to try and speak. So if I'm angry, or if I'm swearing or shouting, then obviously I'm not breathing properly. So as I was very concerned in achieving this 100% and recovering from this 100%, I followed instructions. So the actual way of breathing diaphragmatically made me very calm, even in tough situations. So I think a byproduct of that was being very calm with people and thinking the words very concisely, very precisely, and choosing the correct words that people like to hear each time.
And those indeed sound like the skill set that somebody in business and leadership and having entrepreneurial skills Needs. Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, I'm telling you, the Maguire program doesn't teach you business skills or
Right.
anything, but it can definitely teach you communication skills very well.
Now,
So I think, yeah.
I'm sorry. No. Go ahead.
So I think that was a way that I started developing this empowerment in people. And I felt really good when my best friend, Shema, told me, "I really appreciate what you did, Perla, because I learned so much from you. And you would never take anything as a no. You would take everything as a challenge, and yes, let's go for it." And that's something to do with the program. The program teaches you to be very proactive in making the world your comfort zone. Because in the past, not even ourselves would be our own comfort zone. You agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I love the way that you just phrased that, making the world our comfort zone, because many people who stutter or stammer are indeed afraid of just that. They hide themselves from the world.
Exactly, definitely. So that sort of philosophy and mindset that I learned from the program, I actually used it for my day-to-day life. And I would see every speaking situation as, I want to do this. I can do this, so I can prove myself that I can recover and I can be mentally stronger each time. So I saw everything as a contact, as I would say. And then that was when my friend told me, "Yes, you never take a no for anything. If something is impossible to do, you always say, 'Well, let's try and find another alternative, but we will get this done.'" And this was implying speaking to directors, speaking to foundations, as we had practical work to do as well. So we had to negotiate a lot outside university. So yeah, that was something that helped me a lot, and I do say that this program has helped me entirely.
Now, did your friend know your history with stammering? Had you shared that with her?
Yes, I did. Something that I've learned as well is to accept myself as a stammer, well, as a recovering stammer. So something that helps me achieve this is, as we call it in the program, making disclosures,
Yes.
right? As in speaking to people and say, "Well, I'm on a speech therapy program, I'm a recovering stammer," etc., etc. So then that makes the fear come down.
Right. Yes, I've heard other people that have participated in the Maguire program talk about those same things, but it does appear that you actually embody it in the passion and the enthusiasm and the excitement that you talk about the program with.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to quote you something that I love. And maybe you might relate it to what we're speaking about. Hang on, let me find it really quick. I love this quote, and it's from the book Okay. It's from the book Awaking the Giant Within from Anthony Robbins. And the quote says, "If we link massive pain to any behavior or emotional pattern, we will avoid indulging in it at all costs. We can use this understanding to harness the force of pain and pleasure to change virtually anything in our lives." So my pain was my stammer. my out of control stammer, my avoidance approaches that I would use, that was my pain. So I actually converted that into pleasure in feeling satisfied with myself, in accepting myself and being really proactive and achieving things that I wasn't able to achieve in the past. So
now
I don't know if it made sense a bit, that quote.
It does. It's almost kind of like, I'm sure you've probably heard of the book, perhaps you've even read it, The Secret by Rhonda Burns. It almost has a little bit of the same approach. Believe in positive and change your mindset, and, you know, then positive things will, you know, come to you or surround you. But it also sounds a little bit like, and maybe I'm interpreting this wrong, but you almost maybe had to go through the painful situations that you did to emerge as a stronger person.
Yes. Yes.
Because that's what it sounds like to me.
Yes, I think, yes, it did. It did, Pam, because I really touched rock bottom, I would say, if that's the correct word in English.
Yes.
I kind of translated from Spanish to English. Yes, I kind of touched rock bottom, and I was, as I used to see myself, I was at the bottom, to be honest. Maybe people didn't see me like that. People would tell me, no, but you don't have a stammer. But that was because I was avoiding speaking situations, and I wouldn't let people know that I stammered. Except one of my ex-boyfriend's mother, right? She obviously knew this perfectly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that pain actually converted me to become a better person. I was very sloppy in the past. I had no discipline whatsoever. I never knew the meaning of discipline. Never knew the meaning of achievement, what an achievement was. Because I would go through my life avoiding mostly everything. So when I had my voice back to me, and I started developing the true self that I am, the true person that I really am, that's when I really stuck to it and said, well, come on, you can achieve this. The same as so many other things, you can be able to achieve this. You're going to be able to achieve this, sorry. So that's when I put the effort in and started doing. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect and the Maguire program is the perfect thing. I mean, it's a great program. It is. I'm so convinced it works. It does. I mean, it's very good.
Now, I wanted to just ask you before it slipped out of my mind. You're obviously using your diaphragmatic breathing techniques as we speak, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, you almost sound sometimes to have like a breathiness to your tone. So are there some times where you take a deeper, fuller breath as opposed to other times?
Well, I would say that when the fear of a word is coming to me. For example, I've been struggling these past 3 weeks. I've been having a lot of turbulence speech-wise, and there's a word that I can't say it, that I'm going to say it now, if you give me that chance.
Absolutely.
Program. That's a sort of tough word that I had so many problems saying. So when I get to that fear, then I take the fear down to my chest. So then I can say pronounce and enunciate even that feared word, and not avoiding that feared word. So, for example, with the word program, I got it in my chest, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I can say it and not avoid it. So those are one of the few techniques that we have in the program.
Mm-hmm.
So then you don't avoid any words, because the more you avoid, then the more negative you become.
Mm-hmm. Because I've almost heard, like, and I hope you don't mind me asking this, because I'm trying to, like, just trying to almost, like, figure out how you're using the technique. Once or twice I've heard you, like, very easily repeat, like, an N sound, like, nuh, and you just go on with the word. And then a couple other times I've heard more, like, pitch or depth to the breath that you've taken, and it seems like your tone is almost lower when you're maybe getting ready to speak on a word that you used to stammer on.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Am I reading that right?
Yes, you are reading it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when you mentioned the N or nah, mm-hmm. that's something called block release.
Okay.
So what we do, we stammer on purpose. And then that's a reminder for us to desensitize ourselves and bring the fear down.
Okay, so you've actually voluntarily stammered on a couple of those more pronounced repetitions that I've heard.
Exactly. For example, if I'm using the words program, that's mm-hmm. one of my challenging words. If I would use block release in program, I would be program.
Okay.
That's a block release, for example.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have to consciously think about this all the time? That this is the way that you're going to speak all the time, or has it become so automatic for you that you're not thinking about it anymore?
Well, that's a good question, Pam, because most of the time it does come automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, for example, I'm going to be very honest to you guys. As I said, I've been struggling in the past weeks as this new change to Mexico City, being on my own here, has been a bit difficult, and my speech has suffered a bit. So that's when I enter a stage called turbulence. And that's when I'm starting to struggle. So what I do, I intensify my practice in those feared words and situations that I want to avoid, but I can't avoid, because that's going to be worse for me.
Right.
Then what I do, then I've got to force a bit more of the technique. But as an overall, the technique comes very automatic.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do in those times where you're in more of a turbulence or in a more stressful state? Are there people that you can reach out to? Is there support readily available for you during these tougher stretches?
Definitely, yes. That's a good advantage that the Maguire program has, is that we have a worldwide support network. Because in order for you to recover from stammering, you need a lot of support. On your own, it's very tough to do. And obviously, paying a lot of money on each course, well, I mean, I don't think the majority of a worldwide population is wealthy, right? We're not.
Exactly.
only the minority of the worldwide population is wealthy. So then what we do is that once you're a member of the program, You have the opportunity of going back to courses and working on your speech for very few, well, I would say a minimum wage, right?
Okay.
And plus you've got Skype network from grads that are on the program and have been certified as a coach. So they're entirely capable in helping you.
So there's
recover from this turbulence if you're going through, or if you just want to warm up a day and you think you might have a difficult situation coming across and you want to practice, then you have the support of speaking to a grad on Skype or on the telephone. So then you can move forward each time. As well, in the UK and Europe, where the Maguire program is settled, we have support groups. So every fortnight or every week, oh, I can't remember. No, I think it's every fortnight, we get together, the grads, and we start drilling our practice and the things and techniques that the program has taught us. Mm-hmm. So then that makes us stronger. Speech-wise, for us to deal with any fearing situation that might come ahead. So, yes, you have a lot of support that helps you out. And, yeah, it's a very good thing, to be honest.
It sounds it, because even though you may have had a difficult period of turbulence, you still sound quite confident in yourself and in your abilities, and particularly in your speaking abilities, and that comes through loud and clear.
Yeah, exactly. For example, before talking to you, I was warming up a bit with the founder of our program. His name is Dave Maguire. He's mm-hmm. a lovely man, very down to earth, and he's a recovering stammer himself. So obviously, he has been through this period.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows what you might be going through in a difficult situation speech-wise.
So you were warming up with him prior to our conversation?
Exactly. I was speaking to him that I said, would you like to come on the program as well? Maybe you could chat to Pam and I. He's like, yeah, sure. We'll ask Pam if it's okay. And then I said, no, I remember it's a podcast just for women. He's like, okay.
Well, you know what? We are the minority within the minority of people who stutter. Right? Because there's only 1% of the population that stutters, and of that, 4 of 5 are men. So there's got to be a little something for just the women. so this is our space. But I would like to chat with him sometime, because I hear nothing but positive accolades about him. So certainly if you could connect us at some point and we could have a three-way chat, that'd be great.
Definitely. Well, just let me know when you're free to do it and I can speak to him and arrange something. I think it might be very interesting talking to him.
Yeah, I think
as so. He's been in this for a long time. I mean, he started this in Holland in 1994, I think. So obviously there's a lot of credibility and a lot of experience from him
mm-hmm.
towards a program.
Now, one more quick question, and then we will have to wind down, because my goodness, this time has flown. but did you have the conversation with your dad after you completed the Maguire program? I mean, did
conversation
he feel like
about what?
Well, did he feel like he got his money's worth?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And he sees it now, for example, now that I'm on my own, I mean, as in not in the Maguire program back in the UK or in the US,
mm-hmm.
And I'm in Mexico, and I'm the only grad in Mexico. And I'm still not sure for how long I'm going to be living in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So it's for an indefinite period. So my goal is bringing the Maguire program to Mexico. Because I'm so convinced that it's worked for me, and I've seen it's worked for thousands of people from different nationalities and backgrounds around the world. So I'm so convinced it works. So that's one of my other goals. I forgot to mention that I'd really like to bring the program and start to create the awareness in Mexico, as I know there's so many other Mexican people who stammer here.
Have you run into any?
Yes, I have. Mm-hmm. I've run to the people who hide it the mm-hmm. same way that I did 3 years ago. And people who think that it's not a problem, or people who think that it's just a physical problem, but don't really know the whole integral problem that stammering has. Mm. So yes, I have run into them, and I've spoken about myself. I've obviously disclosed that I'm a recovering stammer myself, and I keep on working on my speech, Pam. I'm not cured, as I'd like to mention that. I keep on working it, but it has opened my doors 100%. And so I would like to share that with people in Mexico and start to expand this here as well.
Right? Well, that sounds very exciting, and it sounds like you have just so many opportunities ahead of you, and it sounds like no matter what you want to do, whether it be getting into teaching people about the different cultures of the world so they don't screw up when they're trying to make a business deal or bringing what's helped you to other people, you know, you just have a quiet confidence in yourself that I'm sure that no matter which path that you choose, it will be successful and you'll empower others.
Oh, I hope so. I hope so, Pam. That's one of my long-term goals. I mean, trying to help others. If this program has helped me, and I thought that I wasn't going to have a solution, and I thought that I wasn't going to be very useful in life. I mean, it sounds very poor, doesn't it?
No, that's how people who stutter think.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we think that, you know, we're not going to be successful at anything. That's why we hide. I did myself. I hid for many, 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 many years. So that doesn't sound poorly at all. You're just reflecting on how you actually thought. You're being honest.
Yeah, I'm definitely being honest. Very transparent, I would say.
Yes, very much so.
So yeah, that's one of the goals that I'd like. I mean, share this with other people, and for those people to help other people. I mean, it's a very empowering chain, I would say, that will benefit you, and other people will benefit from it as well. Mm-hmm. Because having this affliction of stammer is something very cruel. I mean, people don't see it as a major problem. But you can agree with me, Pam, as well, that having a stammer is something very difficult. And living with it, especially when your self-esteem is very low and your confidence is very low, then it actually controls your life. You feel like a prisoner in yourself. That's what I used to call myself. I used to feel prisoned inside me. Why? Because I was so limited, or I would limit myself very much. Mm-hmm. And living with limitations in life, I think, is the saddest thing a human being can go through.
Wow.
So definitely, if anybody out there is willing to take the chance and recovering from it and helping themselves, well, there's always an opportunity for you.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your honest story with us and letting us know what's worked for you. And I'm just delighted that you were able to join us on the show. So thank you very much.
No problem, Pam. It was a pleasure for me being here. I mean, I always like talking about this. So thanks a lot for inviting me anyway. And yes, we'll definitely arrange something with Dave McGuire if you like.
Oh, I definitely would enjoy that. We'll just have to figure out when would be a good time for all of us.
Definitely, Pam.
Yes. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.